So our step number two is reassessing our self-talk. Janet, tell us why this is step number two.
Reassessing our self-talk is because that's where this change can actually happen. That's where we can actually start to do something a little bit differently.
Yes. And I think it's also that if every time we open our closet and trying on new clothes is triggering for us, it's going to happen every time. It's never going to stop being distressful unless we begin to explore why this is triggering. Why does this story still exist?
Yeah, I think that that's what it is. It's that like the story and the experience is going to keep going and going and going unless we shift something inside of ourselves or our thoughts or our mind.
Yeah. So before we begin, I want to remind everybody that the doors for my signature Body Grievers membership are officially open. We are doing something so different this time that we've never done before. One of the things that I get asked all of the time is, would you ever host an in-person Body Grievers retreat? And coming home from Costa Rica really showed me that it's so needed because there were so many people who were activated when we were in Costa Rica. And had I had the opportunity to coach them, had I had the opportunity to walk with them before we got to Costa Rica, we might have avoided some really unnecessary struggle. So if you saw us go to Costa Rica and thought, that sounds amazing, I wish I could have gone, but you were scared that you might have been activated or maybe experienced some body image distress. If you are somebody who is just continually getting stuck when it comes to body grief, and you have watched our lives, you are watching our podcasts, and the stuff that we're teaching you is working and you're still stuck, you might need to find somebody like us to collaborate with you in your individual journey. All of the time, people will say, can you give us steps? Can you give us tips? And I don't like giving out tips because it's not a universal process. Healing is not a universal process. But I do believe that between Jana and I, we have really cultivated an environment of healing. And that is what the magic is of our Body Grievers membership. So all of the details for our Body Grievers membership, plus the retreat, are in the link in the show notes and in my bio. I am happy to hop on a call and answer any questions if you are seriously considering joining us for 2024. I would say that this offer is ideal for the person who is ready to leave dieting and their anti-fat bias in 2023. If you have tried to do it on your own and you are ready to make the emotional and financial investment into a high supportive container, I really want to encourage you to come and join us for the Body Grievers 2024 membership and Northeast retreat. These spots are limited because to host an intimate gathering in person, it's very important to me that it is a safe environment, and I can do that better with a small amount of people. So if you're interested, you can DM me and let me know that you're interested in the Body Grievers retreat and membership. We are looking for a select few. And also know that we have other options. If it's truly not accessible for you, we have lots of free resources, including my podcast, my entire Instagram, my email list. We have so many different resources for you. This is not the only way to work with us. I think that healing our body image wounds can feel so impossible because for so many of us, we don't have experience of doing it. Like, we don't have a memory of, oh, I've healed my body image and I know that this is possible. And so it's a lot like trying to think about cleaning out your unfinished basement or your attic. And you know, there's so many boxes down there. There's so much to go through. You don't know what's down there. You don't know what you need. You don't know what you're going to need support with in going through. And so what's left is that oftentimes, I think my ADHD brain is like, I'm just going to take everything and dump it out and go through it. And that is a horrible plan. I don't recommend anybody, whether you're organizing your basement or you're going through your body image. And so what I would say for both would be, first thing we need to do is we need to find the small win. Maybe my only goal is to go into my basement and find my holiday decorations and just organize that bucket and go through that bucket. That is a small, tangible win. Maybe my goal is not to figure out how to open my closet and love all my clothes and love my body in it, but that when body image distress shows and rears its face, when I'm going through my closet, that I can have enough space to pause and say, here are those thoughts again that aren't serving me, that I don't want to feel, see, or experience.
I love that. So the second thing that I think is important with that is muscle memory. Like when we talk about self-talk, I know that's a funny thing when we think about like something physical, but something mental, right? But just like we have muscle memory in our bodies, right? People, I saw it all the time. I worked in an assisted living for a long time. And these people who had kind of lost some of their brain capacity could sit down and play a concerto on the piano perfectly because of muscle memory. They had played it so many times when they were younger that it just kind of came out. We have played muscle memory for body image in our minds and in our hearts and all the things so many times about like, when this happens, this is the place I go, as to hatred or to punishment of myself or to blame of myself. Well, and now we're trying to carve a new path of muscle memory for how we handle body image self-talk. The hard part about this, the tricky part about this is that sometimes when we try to have a different kind of self-talk that is more kind or more compassionate, our systems can kind of resist that because it can seem like a lie or it can seem ingenuine, and we can have a lot of distrust for that. One of the things that I see a lot with clients is they want to go to like body love. I love my body. Our systems are going to reject that like you wouldn't believe, right? Like it is going to have some major pushback because it's trying to keep us safe. Our systems are trying to keep us safe.
But they're not doing a good job. Like it's like a fire alarm that's going off. We've talked about this in other episodes, but the fire alarm system isn't working. So it's the solution is not to then just not have a fire alarm. We just need to teach our brain and our body to work together of, hey, this is information. I know you're trying to protect me. We're going off of old information.
Yes, Bree, I love that. Yeah, that's like the old programming, the old information. But when you have new information, it's like we have this other bucket to pick from, right? Like there's another bucket there, but for so long, I don't know about for you, Bree, but there was no other bucket. There was one bucket, the bucket of what everybody in my life had told me, what magazines had told me, what TV had told me about my body. There was only that bucket. Let's see if there's another bucket. Can I walk in my closet and say, yeah, this sucks that I need to buy new clothes. I'm not really wanting to buy new clothes, but like it doesn't mean anything about me.
And if it does, do I want to believe this story? Does this story align with how I want to feel about myself or somebody I love? What are some ways that they can reality test whether or not the thoughts they are believing or saying align with how they want to speak to themselves?
Oh, I love this one. This is one of my favorites, is asking them if it was your best friend, what would they tell you? Would they be telling you the same thing? Right? And I'm like, and if they are, if you need new friends, right? But your very best friend who loves you, would they be saying this about you? If I looked down and had a triggering thought about my thighs, the size of my thighs, and would I say, oh my gosh, there's something wrong with you. You did something bad. You're bad. Nobody's going to want to be with you. Would my best friend say that? Or would my best friend be like, yeah, girl, I don't care about that. Like, let's go laugh and have some fun.
You say it to your best friend. Like, would you be like, yeah, girl, your thighs really make me not want to be your friend? You would not have a friend.
Exactly. Bree, do you want to share what yours is for reality testing?
Yeah. So again, because I'm a little bit more cerebral. So this question of, okay, does the language I'm using bring me closer or further to the values that I align with? Is the language that I'm using in the way that I speak to myself, if I am saying to myself, every time my seasonal clothes don't fit, that this is embarrassing and that people are going to judge me, is that thought aligned with my values? Does it bring me closer to the values I want to live by, or does it bring me further away? So that's another reality test you can do. Coming back to the idea that there is choice in the body distress experience. This idea of choice is that if somebody is desiring a different experience, we have to do two things to start. One, we have to build awareness around this feeling or experience that we want to change. And what we call that is the catalyst. And we also need to build awareness around the subsequent following thoughts. But the second thing is really what we're going to be talking about here in this episode is how do we reassess, how do we know if the way that we are speaking to ourselves is actually going to bring us the relief that we are seeking. Jana and I, though very similar in our approach, we take a little bit of a different approach. And I think this comes back to what we mentioned in the previous episode, where maybe Jana experiences things a little bit more physically and I experience them more mentally. There's nothing wrong with feeling mentally versus feeling physically. At the end of the day, it's all sensation. The purpose that this episode is intended to do is to help you to bring about awareness of what are the sensations and are the sensations communicating to me in a way that is helping me get closer to the desired feeling of relief. So what we thought we would end this episode with is by taking you through how we would build awareness around this feeling or experience that we want to change. So the first thing that I would recommend somebody to do would be to write a list. Keep a grief list on your phone. Anytime you become activated in your body image, anytime you experience distress in your body, I want you to write it down. The other thing I would have you do is I would also have you distress scale it. On a scale of 1 to 10, how distressful does this experience happen? So for instance, every time I sit in front of the mirror, I happen to notice my body image because I have mirrors as doors in my office. How distressful is that experience? Do I notice it every time? Every time you're changing over your seasonal clothes? Do you have a narrative or a sensation or grief that manifests, that comes up? And how distressful is it? Jana, what would you recommend?
One of the first things that I really recommend, because you're noticing something going on, is to actually just feel it. To just take some time and notice the sensations in your body. I know that for me, when I was in diet culture for so long, I had detached so much from my body signals that I think that's one of the first things that I would like people to do, is to be able to see if there's something that they can catch there, some kind of signal from themselves.
So like reattaching to your body sensations. I love that. Okay, so another way that we can build awareness, especially around body grief, is to write a grief letter. This was one of the things that I used to do when I was feeling really distressed in my body, because it didn't happen often, but I'll give you an example. I'll often reference my letter that I wrote on the airplane. I had journaled about feeling distressed about not fitting into the airplane seat. And I could sense the sensation and I was like, all right, I'm feeling the feels, but I didn't want to be stuck in the distress. So I just wrote. I just started writing and was able to kind of work through some of the grief that was coming up in not being able to fit comfortably on an airline and an airplane seat. What would you say for this second one?
As you just mentioned, that grief is real and it is there. And I think sometimes we try to push that away in an effort to not feel how that feels. But what I love to invite people to do is create a little space, you know, create a little space for that grief to come in. Because if someone else was grieving, we would try to be with them, right? But with our grief, we want to just push all of that away, abandon it. And so I think creating a little space for that grief is so important, as if it just came in the rain and was going to sit down, and there was nothing you had to do to fix that right away. Allow yourself to move into it and through it.
I see you do this when you're like, I just need to cry. I just need just a minute to feel my feelings. I just need to allow this moment. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes. So for me, and this took some practice, so this is kind of a little skill that kind of takes some learning for sure, is for me, it was this process of not shoving that feeling of grief down. For me, a lot of times it's crying, to like let myself have that moment to just kind of let it out. And Bree, I think you will remember in Costa Rica, there was a time when I got really upset about something. I came in the room and flopped on the bed, and I could tell that I had a choice right then. It's either to shove it down and just keep moving forward, which is how I lived a lot of my life, or kind of say, yeah, I'm going to kind of let this out, and I'm going to let this cry out. And I don't know if you remember, I said, Bree, like, it's okay. You don't have to do anything. I've got this. I just need to let this out. And you don't need to figure it all out in that moment. In that moment, I actually needed to kind of let it out so I could get onto something else, right? And not feel all pressured inside. And so it's just about honoring that moment, honoring that grief.
I think that's hard for people too, because it's like, well, if I kind of back to that analogy that we had mentioned of organizing your attic, it can be like, well, I have to do the whole thing. And it's like, we don't have to do anything right now, but just acknowledge what's here. Let's just take inventory of what's happening. And then the third thing that I would do to help you build awareness and at the same time begin to reassess how I'm speaking to myself, I'd have you begin to write down any and all of the attributes about yourself that you like. And it doesn't have to do with your body. It can if you want to. I remember when I did this myself, I think I wrote down that I liked my nail beds. Every time I would go get a manicure, they'd always compliment. They'd be like, you have such beautiful nails. It's such a silly, like, minute thing, but we spend so much time beating ourselves up for the things that we don't like about ourselves, that if we can just start creating awareness around the things that we do like and that we love about ourselves, how will this begin to then shift how we feel or speak to ourselves? And again, it does not have to be, how do I, do I love every like part of my body? But I know one of the things I had written down when I did this exercise myself was, I know that I'm a really good gift giver. That you mentioned something once, it goes into this like part of my brain where I'm like, I'm going to remember this. I didn't do anything to be good at that. That's just something that I know about myself that I like. What would you do for this one?
My third and final tip is to go and do something that you love. Like whether that's crocheting or getting outside for a walk. For me, it's usually getting on the water of some kind. But something that kind of brings you back to yourself, because what this kind of does is it shows you that you're important. It kind of gives the signals to your brain and your body that you are important, and that switching that self-dialogue is actually really a big deal. And you can kind of start to have some different thoughts and different feelings as you value yourself in a different way.
That's so funny too, because you asked this to me today. You said, what can you do that can like bring you back to yourself? And I think I said, I don't know. I think I got cerebral in it of like, I don't know, I just have to, sit and think about it or something like that. And I think that just, it goes back to how we each individually work. I'm never going to tell somebody to journal who hates journaling. If you can't imagine sitting down with a journal, maybe you're better off figuring out how do I connect to myself? And can I get out on the paddleboard today? Or can I, go grab a cup of coffee, and that will bring me back to myself. And this is why we also say that we can teach skill set on healing body grief, but each of us has a different destination in mind. Each of us is exploring different avenues. Maybe the person listening to this wants to be able to make peace with their body so that they can go on vacation and they can get on the airplane. Maybe somebody else wants to heal their body image for their daughter because their child is looking up to them. Maybe somebody's listening to this episode and wants to heal their body image because it keeps causing them to stay small in their life. And they see us and they see us living our big, fat, unapologetic life and think, I want that too. Can that be possible for me too?
And so how do we begin to become explorers and investigators of our body image in a way that feels good to our nervous system, in a way that is trauma-informed, that is not going to leave us in a more activated place than we started? We're going to talk all about this in step number 3, investigating your triggers.